Man, I thought...
Anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand. You need a Bible? Raise your hand. Mark will get it to you. You want to follow along in the Bible? Matthew 7. Matthew 7. You know, I'm serious. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, okay? Originally. Have I ever told you this? Look at the colors I have on, by the way. But, you know, come on, guys. It's really like an inch of snow. I mean, really? I mean, seriously? You can't come to church in an inch of snow? Are you serious? Oh, well, what am I? Don't tell anybody I said it. Don't tell anybody that might get mad. But, okay, so a pastor didn't say this. An actual newsman said this. But pastors use it and say pastor said it. It really wasn't a pastor. And what he said was, it's our job to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And man, is that right here this morning. Last week, I've never, by the way, and it's not because I did anything great, it's because the Lord knows, and because you folks must be a lot of worriers, because I've never had a response to a sermon like I had last week. And by the way, I'm a worrier, so I'm including myself in there. And the Lord told us last week, didn't he, that worrying's futile. There's no use to it, and it's bad for you, and we learned that. We have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we have been saying to the Lord, haven't we? Lord, I'm saying it in the present vernacular, kind of like the 80s, I guess. Come mess with us. Come do something in our hearts, because the Sermon on the Mount, if you'll examine it, and you are, all of you are, you're really digging into it, and you're commenting on it and talking about it. The Sermon on the Mount will wreck your world. Because it lays before us this thing that you can't live up to God's standard, neither can I. And it's just like everything else I think the Bible's doing. It's pointing you directly to the Savior. It's like the big arrow saying, head this way, to Jesus. And in Matthew 5:20, I think is the epicenter of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, you are to be more righteous than even the Pharisees. And what Jesus is talking about there is not quantity or exterior righteousness in any way. He's talking about the quality of the righteousness which comes from him. In other words, inward righteousness is much more valuable, important, eternal. I don't even know if I'm saying the right words. It's the thing that he's aiming at. But here's the deal. Every Christian, if you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, has the imputed righteousness through Christ, which is a game changer. Now you have the very life of Christ pulsing in and through you. It's not what would Jesus do, bracelet. It's what has Jesus already done. You can't copy Jesus. You just yield more and more to the Spirit of Christ that lives in you as he lives in and through you to impact an entire world, the world that he set you in. And the Sermon on the Mount wrecks us in this way. And we see in chapter 5, that's what the theme is. In Christ, this is who you are. By the way, our sermon last week was, don't worry, be happy. How do we come up with that? Well, the Bible says, blessed is the man or woman or boy or girl. Blessed is the person, all the Beatitudes. We should be, listen, I'm going to get emails about this. I know it. We should be the happiest people in the world. Why? Because we have the very life of Christ. He's brought us close. We're no longer dead in our trespasses and sin. We're alive in Christ. What more needs to happen? And by the way, more does happen. So he tells us in chapter 5 who we are. And then he says, in chapter 6, he starts to tell us what our life will look like. And here's where it really starts to wreck us. especially our self-righteous senses. Oh, by the way, rabbit trail. I can't wait for today. You know all the people that love cheap grace. Oh, you know, I'll just sin like this and God will forgive me. They're going to be wrecked today. But guess what? The self-righteous people in here, me included, the ones who say, you know, hi, I'm pretty good. I'm the pastor. I'm doing all right. You're going to be wrecked today in a good way, in a great way, a healthy way, a way that ministers to you, that we can be and live and grow the way God intended us to live and grow. Are you ready for that? I'm ready for that. So in chapter 6, he really does it. He says, not only is it important what you do, but he's saying the motives behind what you do. Oh, you say to yourself, I never hated anybody. Yeah, right. I see you people in traffic. You hate people. Trust me. I see it. I hear it in my own car sometimes. Sometimes when I'm by myself. No, I'm kidding. So I know, we've hated people. We've hated people in our hearts. We've done other things. We've lusted after others. We may have never committed adultery, but we've lusted after others. And so the Lord just wrecks us and talks about our motives. And our motives are important too in the kingdom of God. But this is the great part, that if you'll cooperate, listen, I'm saying this on purpose. If you'll cooperate with the Lord, he gives you life and resource to live this way. Because as we're going to see today, listen to this, folks, the road that we're on, if you're a Christ follower, just raise your hand in your heart. You don't have to raise your hand. If you claim that you're a Christ follower, if you do that, if I do that, if we do that, the gate, the road is really, really narrow. Not many people are willing to submit themselves in meekness to the Lord. They might want to just say a prayer on the back of the, you know, let me say a prayer on the back of the magazine, say a sinner's little prayer, and then just live life the way we want. That's not what God's calling us to in any way, as I read the Bible. No. He's after something bigger and greater, and we're going to keep examining it. So here, we talked about the model prayer Jesus did in chapter 6 and how we're to pray. And the most important thing I think you need to take away from that, at least I need to take away from that, is that he's our Father. He's our Father. And he talks about some disciplines that we're going to be doing, like fasting and praying. And those are important disciplines that we're going to hit upon. And that we should be laying up treasures in heaven. Our hearts should be in heaven. Listen to this. You know what I'm trying to do this morning? By the way, it's no secret, I'm trying to do it every morning that I meet with you. I'm trying to convey to you the word of God so that God takes it by the Spirit of God and you listen to this, treasure him more and more and lay aside the treasures of the world. Not that the treasures of the world are bad, but when the treasures have you, instead of you have the treasures, we're in real trouble. And if we're honest in America, that's a big problem. Whether we're rich or whether we're poor, it's both a big problem. And we talked about that at length. And we talked last week, didn't we, about not worrying. Oh, man, did I get a response from that. Because we're worriers, which we talked about at length. And now we come to another subject. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Judgment. Because you've heard it, right? You've heard it. You see it in the news. You see it in all of the things that happen. Judgment. Hey, man, don't judge me. I thought Christians, this is the one that gets me. It makes my skin crawl when I hear it. I'm just being honest with you. Hey, I thought you were a Christian. You're not supposed to judge anybody. I'm like scratching my head like, you don't read the Bible, huh? And so we're going to talk about it today. On the flip side of that, we have a world that just wants you to tolerate everything that they do and say, don't judge. We have this world in the media, your friends, when you're sharing with people, don't judge me. You're not even a Christian if you're judging. In fact, I'm going to take you to Matthew 7, they say, and show it to you. Do not judge. And then, you know, you have people over here who all they want to do is judge people. I call them the sin sniffers. They're so inclined to be into your business about what you're doing. Yeah, they're just on the edge of their seat. How can I judge somebody today? And I hope both sets of people today, if that's you, are uncomfortable. But not uncomfortable that you won't grow from it, as we're going to learn. Everything Jesus is telling us here today is to be used in our ministries to grow people. So let's read it and then we'll pray. Chapter 7, we're going to go hopefully through 14 verses. How about this? Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Ooh, ouch. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? I don't know about you, but my Bible has an exclamation point right here. Hypocrite! In other words, you put on a mask. Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. By the way, you can always remember that by just ask. Anyway, whatever. What is that? Acronym? Acronym. There you go. Or what man is there? Or for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Wow, what a jerk. If you then, being an evil one, or you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who finds it. Let's pray. I was going to go on, but I said 14, didn't I? All right, I got excited. Well, Lord, just use these words, your eternal words, to do a work in our heart. We're just saying that we would choose, Lord, to set aside the things of the world, whether it's lunch or friends or hurt or worry. We're going to set that aside here for the next several minutes, and we're going to ask that you do a mighty work. Here's why, Lord. We have a big job that you've given us to go and to love a hurting and dying world, and we need you, Lord, to be able to do it. In Jesus' name, we pray. So, what camp do you find yourself in or tend to be in? I know what camp I find myself in. Judge not that you not be judged. Isn't that interesting? I read this and you read this, and many of you, whether you have your pen out or not, you're going like this. Please tell me, what can I judge and what can I not judge? Come on, don't lie. You're doing it. I know it because I do it myself. What can I judge and what can I not judge? And boy, oh, by the way, I hope he aligns up with what I like to judge. That's what people are saying right now in their hearts. I know you are because I know my own tendencies. But the Bible here says, judge not. And I think we stop right there. And we forget that you're going to be judged. And I'm going to be judged. You say, what are you talking about? I'm a saved by the blood, justified by faith, grace, justification in Christ, by Christ alone. What are you talking about? Hey, folks, I was at a men's Bible study 2 weeks ago. Very, 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 very mature Christian. I brought this up. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, believers are going to be judged too. He said, what? Show me. What do you mean believers are going to be judged? I got news for you, folks. Believers will be judged. Oh, not on your entrance into heaven. Jesus Christ paid for it. He accomplished everything that we need to get into heaven. But the Bible tells us in several places that we are going to be judged. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's called the Bema Seat judgment. Do you know that resurrected and raptured believers in heaven will be judged, listen to this, on their works? What? No, not to gain entrance into heaven, but they will be, you can look at it in 2 Corinthians 5:10. That's one place where it says it. It also tells us this in Romans 14, that the things that we do, the things that we've been granted, the things that we do, the things that we've been granted and used as stewards, it's going to, listen, this is a way better word. I love this word. So do you, because it seems watered down. But I think it does. I think it pictures what's going to happen for us. We're going to be evaluated based on what God gave us. You ever thought about that? Well, think about it. Somebody shook their head no, and I'm like being a smart aleck. But no, I'm saying this is the thrust of this portion of Scripture. The thrust is, don't get out your pens and find out what you can and can't judge. The thrust is this, that the Bible tells us in Psalm 7, verse 11. Did I just say versed? I think I did. Verse 11, God is a just judge. Which means the territory of judgment and justice, hold on folks, hold on here, hold on to your hats, belongs to the Lord. It's his realm. Do you get this? God is a just judge. I know people don't like to hear that anymore. What they like to hear is, come on, tell me about the grace. Tell me about the mercy. Tell me about how I can get into heaven. Yeah, that's all true, by the way, that you can get into heaven, or you will get into heaven by the finished work of Jesus Christ and his blood and his resurrection. Yes, of course. But you're going to be, and so am I, we're going to be evaluated based on what we've been given and done here on the earth. I'm just telling you, you can look at it. 2 Corinthians 5:10, go there after the service. You can do it. There's this Bema Seat judgment. And you're going to be evaluated. Now, why am I hitting you so hard with this? Or actually, I'm hitting myself with this. Why are we hitting so much on this? Because before you get ready to do this, you have to come at what Jesus is saying here from the right perspective. God is judge, and he's granted to the Son, the book of John tells us, all judgment. And here, Jesus Christ is saying, do not judge. But there's really something funny in here. The Bible is great, man. Because when you look down to verse 15, which I was excited to read to you, he says something to you, and you might be scratching your head. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Hold on. Hold on, folks. You just said in verse 1, Jesus, don't judge. You tell us in verse 15 to beware of false prophets. The only way I can know somebody's a false prophet, do I even need to say it? Is if I judge them. You hear it? Do you know that the Bible, the New Testament, is full of biblical references about church discipline? Do you know this? That if you have a problem with someone, by the way, before I launch into this, folks, love covers a multitude of sins. If somebody stole your coconut donut downstairs, you don't need to go to them and tell them that your feelings are hurt and then come to the pastors and tell them. You don't need to do that. But other than that, love covers a multitude of sins. Somebody's hurt you here, or you've hurt somebody else. What does the Bible tell us? Don't even go to church. Get it right with them first. If they won't listen, take a couple people with you. If it doesn't happen then, go to the leaders and you know church discipline, right? Am I right? Guess what you have to do if you're engaged in church discipline? Judge. Judge. I mean, how else could you do it? I've said this many times, gotten a big argument at a men's group. I don't really argue a lot, I promise, but maybe Janet say different, but big argument. I made this example. If I knew somebody was a sexual, had a sexual issue, and I made it, like, because I'm a lawyer, I made it real outlandish. If they had a problem with, minors, I don't know about you guys, but my kid ain't going to stay all night there. Guess what that is? Judgment. By the way, a guy disagreed with me. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, right? Are you called? What am I called to do as a dad? I'm called to be a leader. I'm called to protect. Are you kidding me? I'm called to judge in some instances. So we got to make sense of this. We've got to make sense of this because some of you are scratching your head. Judge not. And then you get right down to chapter 15. By the way, in chapter 7 or 6 here, he says, there's some who are going to be dogs and swine. What's that? Judgment. So we have to make some sense of this. What is Jesus saying, folks? Because I see it all over Facebook and the internet. Drama. I'm in drama. People won't leave me alone. And what? I'm just going to cut them out of my life and all that nonsense. So we have to make this as clear as we can. Judge not that you not be judged. Oh, by the way, one other thing. There's other places, right? I talked about this a little bit, false teachers, but the Bible calls us in many different places to judge false doctrine. If somebody's teaching false doctrine, then it's okay. The Bible tells us you can look up the scriptures yourselves. In fact, Paul himself, when people are teaching that there's no resurrection, in 2 Timothy 2, he actually names, listen to this, in the scriptures, he actually names two people for eternity who were teaching something false. Is that pretty wild? He says in another place, if people keep coming and knocking on your door, sound familiar? And you've already told them a couple times the real true gospel. Don't even let them in the house. You think that's judgment? So let's make sense. Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judged, you will be judged. So let's just take a look at the words. The word here that is being used, judge, not that you be judged, is a word called krinos. Write it down. If you don't have something to write on, there's journals back there. Krinos. That's a Greek word that has the implication, not even the implication, it means this. It means a final verdict. Who's in charge of the final verdict? Just tell me. It's the answer that everybody gives in Sunday school. Jesus. Krinos here is the final verdict. You're not to judge, to be condemning. Folks, you say, well, I don't do that. Really? We'll talk about that in a minute. Krinos, that final ultimate decision about who you are in Christ and where you're placing your trust and what Christ has done in your life. That those sorts of issues, krinos, that's the word that's being used here. You know the word that's being used in the church discipline sections. And by the way, it actually also says be a great discerner of the gifts over in the gifts section. It's a word that's called diakrinos. It's a little bit different word. And that word means to look at two things and evaluate. And every time diakrinos is used, God says, do that. Of course you're to do that. But when it comes to something that's the ultimate final act and decision, a condemning type of judgment, stay out of that. You following me so far? Okay, good. By the way, just so you know, you can look Oh, here's one other place that I want you to look. You can do it after the service, but I'll point you there in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Listen to what it says Jesus will do. So this is important. Just stay with me, and then I'm going to bring it right to your front room. But this is important. Krinos means the ultimate decision-making about who you are in Christ and the condemnation that people pour on other people. You following me? But then in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, you can look it up afterwards. It says, he will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness. And he will expose the motives of the heart. You are to stay away. This is where it's coming right to you. You and I and we, as born-again, spirit-filled Christians, are to stay away from the motives of another person. We're going to talk about it in here in a minute, but it makes your skin crawl because you hear it. You know what that is, folks? It's that gossip. Man, did you hear her the other night? She thinks she's such a motive. Jesus says, you stay away from that. That's me. Right? So when you boil it down in just a big nutshell, can you do that? Can you make a nutshell big? But anyway, when you summarize all this, listen to this. You're to stay out of the territory of judging and to condemnation or to condemning and the hidden motives of somebody's life. But when it comes to evaluating things like spiritual gifts, hey, that guy's speaking in tongues. No interpreter. Diakrinos. No interpreter. He did it in a public place and there was no interpreter. Shut that down. You hear me? You get it? You understanding? Or I'm the provider of my house and I'm to be a protector and somebody untoward has said to me, I'd like to babysit your children. Guess what I'm doing there? Heavy, heavy evaluation. Thanks, but no thanks. Right? Are you with me so far? Okay. So, judging. And the thing that we have to do and think about here is not what things we can judge and what we can't judge. What we have to do is get a right view of God. He is the judge. We can't impinge upon his realm. Leave him to do this. He's going to bring out all the hidden things and motives of the heart. You don't have to talk at the soccer game about Gertrude, who has stabbed you in the back, and you think she's out to get you. Listen to what you just said. You said, I think. You don't even know. Does that put another spin on gossip? Right? Amen? Amen. Why? Let me tell you something. We're going to get to it here in a minute. I'm going to show you where it is in the scripture. But do you know all of this is put in here? Listen to this, folks. All of this is put in here not so that you can argue about what can be judged and what can't be judged and blah, da, 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 da. Here it is. He wants us to be ministers in the world where people don't even care about gossip or not. I'll show you it in a minute. And so he's saying, listen, if you're going to be out there ministering, you're going to be different than the world. So when, you know, the lady is saying, you know, Gertrude, I heard, there's another one. When you hear, I heard, run. Because here's why. They don't have all the facts. They don't have the other side of the story. One of the great lessons of my lawyer life, okay, is when I'm all charged up at a mediation or a trial or something, I'm all charged up to present my side. And I'm just going to say it. Don't tell this to the Bar Association. You can tell them. I hear the other side of the story. You know what I start saying to myself? Good point. If you don't know the other side of the story, lay off of it. Because there's always two sides to every coin, folks. All right, so here, you need to know that in this realm, God is judge. Stay out of it. You just focus on, listen to this, yourself. Yourself. I wonder, I'm going to take a time out right here. Would you be willing to actually do everything that God's calling you to do? Would you actually be willing? Would you actually, men, women, boys, girls, young people, would you actually be willing to do anything that the Lord asks you to do, including run from gossip? Run from that condemning word that people say in the back corners of the church, or the up in the back stands about the mom in the front. Would you be willing to run from that if the Lord was calling you to it? Guess what? He is calling you to it, and he's calling me too. So here, look at this. Look at this. Stay out of his realm. Stay out of it. He's the one that judges into final condemnation, not you. For listen, for with what judgment you will be judged, or for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. I don't know if you noticed in the first sentence, but the first sentence, in my opinion, is not really telling you what can I judge and what can I not judge. The first sentence cracks me up because everybody stops after the first couple words. Judge not that you not be judged. In other words, you're going to be judged. And with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged that way. And with the measure you used, it will be measured back to you. Now, I told you, there's a Bema Seat judgment coming for you. It's nothing we have to be scared about. It's something that I heard somebody talking this morning, worried about the end times. I was like, you don't have to be worried. What are you worried about? The Lord is good. We sang it. You're hidden in Christ. Come on, Lord, let's go. I can't wait till you come. But in the meantime, till you do, let's love and serve as many people as we can. But when he does come and the end times start to unfold, you're going to be evaluated on what God gave you. And guess what? It's going to burn up like hay, wood, and stubble, and it's going to be of no value. It's this judging, that ultimate judging unto condemnation, the stuff we do in the dark, the stuff we say behind people's back, the stuff we might even say to their face, being overly critical to them. Because the Bible says, the way that you judge, and I got to tell you, I ain't exactly sure how this is going to happen, but I'm convinced it will happen. The way that you judged, that's the measure is going to be used back against you. Make a difference in your life when you're at home and you come home from work worked 50 hours this week and you're tired of the way the boss is treating you, and really the boss is just asking you to do what he's hired you to do, and you start ripping the boss to your wife. When really he's the one in charge, and you're saying, what an idiot. Ultimate condemnation, by the way. He does nothing right. He treats me. Hold on. How would you like it if you were evaluated like this? Hey, that guy's an idiot. That girl's an idiot. They can't do anything right. All they want to do is see me fail. Are you with me? No one. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you're not with me. All right, but listen, so not only are you going to be judged, God is the judge, you're not to judge unto ultimate condemnation, you are called to be an evaluator and an identifier of people and their fruit. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged, and the measure you use is going to be back to you. And then he says this. He's saying to us, really, with this whole series of judgment, worry about yourself. Why are you a sin sniffer? Why are you running around on the edge of your seat? Is he going to say something that's not theologically correct or not? Why are you on the edge of your seat to catch people in stuff that's wrong? He says, listen, you better get in here, because the plank, here's what he's saying, the plank is made out of sawdust. That's what he's actually saying right there. The plank is made out of sawdust, which is the same material. And you're trying to swipe out the little sawdust out of that person's eye, and you got this big honking plank sticking out of yours. In other words, listen to this. Listen to what he says. I'm not saying it. He's saying it. He says, you're a fake. He said it. He said hypocrite. He means the one who comes and puts on a mask. You put on a mask when you get to church. Oh, pray, bless you, Lord. Oh, hey, brother, I pray for you. And then when you get out of church, get the mask off. Let's get to living. That's what he's saying right there. And in the area of condemnation and criticalness and just trying to find somebody in a mistake, you're a phony and a fake. That's what the Lord says to me and to you. How do I see this in the Bible? Well, I see it because you see it when you read the Old Testament. That's my plug for you to come on Wednesday nights. I see this. I see this man who was called a man after God's own heart. His story in this respect is found in 2 Samuel 12. He was a man after God's own heart, and he's standing up on the top of one of his palaces, and he's looking down, and he sees this girl, and she's taking a bath. And he's married, but who cares? She's taking a bath. Oh, no, he must have said, that's Uriah's wife. Uriah's my best general, but man, does she look good in the bathtub. And he goes on, and he goes on, and you know the story. He has a child with her, and he actually calls out a hit on his friend and general, who, by the way, when he was on furlough, wouldn't have relations with his wife because he was so dedicated to the king. And there's this prophet who comes into the palace. By the way, not only did Uriah die, folks, he created this battle and a whole bunch of people died, including Uriah. And this prophet comes in one day and gives him this parable about stealing sheep. And David, I can just see it. Kill him! Anybody who would do that, what a evil dude. I mean, I can't believe. Can you imagine having to deliver these words to the king? Hey, David, that was you. You see, here's the point. Oftentimes, the thing that you're most critical about is the thing you're struggling with. And you don't like it in yourself. And really, deep down, you comment on it on other people so it'll draw attention away from you or me. You see it? And I don't know how to describe necessarily all the things that we do that God's saying is off limits. All this condemnation talk and all this motive talk. But I could describe it. Well, look with me over in the 18th chapter of Luke. This is the first thing I want to show you. What we're trying to do is find out what we can and can't judge, because I know you came to the sermon to find out. When in reality, the Lord is saying, yeah, 18. Is it 18? Oh, my goodness. Oh, good. I'm in 19. I was like, what? Here it is. Well, forget that. I don't know where it is. Here's what it is. Here's the story. Do you remember this when the... Tell me where it is. It's in Luke. Do you remember when the... Remember what? No. Remember this when the Pharisee was praying and he was right beside the tax collector? It's right there in Luke somewhere. Sorry, late night. Okay, read it or don't read it to me. I'll read it. The reason I'm saying don't is because it'll go on the tape. But Luke 18:9. Here we go. I thought it was there. Luke 18:9. This is a fascinating story. Here are these people, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Oh, there it is. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you. This is so funny. Don't you find this funny? It's so sickening. It's funny. Can you imagine standing up in front of people? Can you imagine the pastor standing up in front of a bunch of people and saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like these people? Wouldn't that be awful? What would you do if I prayed that prayer? You'd get up and leave, I'd hope. God, I thank you that I'm not like these people. Oh my goodness. Not only that, God, I'm not like these other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like this hated tax collector who's sitting over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off, notice that, he's not right with God. I'm doing better than he is. That's what this verse is saying. Thank goodness you found that, Cindy, or I'd have been in trouble for the rest of the sermon. I'm doing better than he is. Mark that away. I'm doing better than he is. Would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is what I want to start out with. The person who likes to do the condemning is dripping with self-righteousness. Dripping with self-righteousness. And I'm here to tell you something, folks. God hates it. Would you be willing to do anything that the Lord asks you to do, or to get rid of in your life anything that the Lord asks you to? He hates self-righteousness. In fact, he said, yeah, all these religious people with all the robes on, that's sickening to me. This tax collector is the one who would be justified. The tax collectors were the most hated people in Israel. They were enemies because they had betrayed their country. So the first thing I want you to see is, if your comments, attitudes, actions are dripping with self-righteousness, listen, get rid of it. God hates it. How do you know if what you're doing is self-righteous? It's if there's anything that enters your mind, listen, where it says, I'm doing a little bit better than she is. You get it? I say it here every week. There's a big temptation for the person who stands up here to be self-righteous. Why? Because I'm here. I'm studying. It would be easy for me to say, oh my gosh, Andy, couldn't you come down and help me once? By the way, Andy helps me like crazy. But I picked him out because he's tough enough to take it, right? You get what I'm saying? Andy, where have you been? I was here the time. Why weren't you here? Guess what that is dripping with? Self-righteousness. I'm saying to Andy, you know what I'm saying without really saying it, but I am saying it? I'm a little bit better than you. That's the first thing that your comments, your attitudes, your actions are not supposed to be. And God says, don't do them, judge not. Those are it. Self-righteous attitudes and actions. We'll talk about that in a minute. How about this? A readiness to always, always, always give your opinion. Are you following along? Always want to give your opinion. Not so people can be built up, but so that people will know how smart you are. That marks the judgment that God's calling you not to do. How about this one? How about this? This is it, man. This is it. This is what the Lord is striking at. I'll give you an example from my life. How about when you're secretly or not so secretly pleased when somebody who's come up against you fails? I'll tell you, about 6 years ago, I'm praying, Lord, I know you've called us to start a church in the South Hills of Pittsburgh. Oh, Lord, yeah. And I'm surfing the internet. I'm trying to find a place to have Sunday service. And all of a sudden I see, poof, church launch. South Hills of Pittsburgh. What? Starting such and such a time. And I'm going to tell you something. Literally, for one day and a half, I was angry. I was mad.
Lord, you called me to this. You're starting this church. They had 400, 500 people. I mean, what?
And then the Lord took me to the book of John where it said, hey, what's that to you? Follow me. And since that day, I've been okay. Okay, but what I'm saying is the attitude I had, it's that attitude like, man, I'm just going to watch from afar and I hope they fail. Come on, folks. Admit to yourself. You feel it. You sometimes revel in it. So do I. And the Lord's saying, that's not the stuff I want you to be involved in. Here's some other stuff. This impacting anybody or just me? It's when we do this. Here, this should hit home. Expressing your opinion to everybody when you don't have all the facts. Come on, folks. How are you doing? And listen, I got lots of Republicans in here. How, if you are listening to Fox exclusively, are you spouting off about an issue? Because I'm going to tell you something. They ain't giving you the full view. How are you, if you're listening to MSNBC all the time, spouting off about an issue? Because they're not giving you the full view all the time. How can you spout off unless you educate yourself about the situation? When something happens in your life, some relationship or somebody hurts you or something's happening or somebody hurts your best friend. There's a good example. Somebody hurts your best friend and you rush in and you start criticizing the person who hurt your best friend. You know what you're doing? You're judging in the way that God says, don't judge. You know why you're doing it? Now, come in, of course, and help her and love her or him, love him. But you don't know the other side of the story. And the Bible tells us that the heart is deceptively wicked. No one can know it. Even listen, your best friend could not be telling you the whole truth. Does that surprise you? It shouldn't. And the Bible tells us to stay away from that sort of condemning. Do you get it? Are you getting this? All right. You won't even take the time to understand the circumstances. You just rush out and start complaining and criticizing the person who hurt your friend. Don't judge like that. Here's another way. I'm really good at this. Jan, you can just ask Jan about this. I'm really good at this. You're not prepared to listen to the other side. Oh my goodness. Now, if you people say that's not you, if I say that's not me, then you aren't listening. You're not paying attention to God's word. He says, don't judge in that way. You can tell when you're being self-righteous, when you're saying, hey, you can tell me, but I already know the answer. But I don't do that. But there's another one, right? It's that place where you can just spot sin in other people so easily. And you could just see from a mile away this little bit of sawdust that's just lurking there under the eyelash from 6 miles away. Oh, that guy, he's just, I can't believe he said this word in the sermon and not that word in the sermon. And or she hurt my, it's the one that just looks. You got the powerful telescope, boom, sawdust. All right, I'm beating this home. And the reason I'm hammering this and riding this horse is because it's a massive problem in America. I know because I live here. And instead, why wouldn't you choose to be a Barnabas? Why wouldn't you be a son of encouragement? When Mark screws up and Paul says, get that guy out of here. Get him out of my face. I don't ever want to see him again. I never want to take him on another missionary journey. You just go alongside of him and grab him and say, let's go again and let's try again. Why can't we be a Barnabas? Does it make us feel good? See, here's the thing. I want you to know something. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You now have peace with God. Listen to what I'm trying to say here. You have deep soul satisfaction because the Lord is your portion. Circumstances don't dictate your mood. The Lord is your portion. You're like this all the time. You're happy and blessed. You've been saved by the blood. You've been brought close to God through Jesus Christ. You have no more enmity. You have peace. In other words, you don't have to perform anymore. You don't have to make people look less than you. In fact, the Bible says make them look better than you. Because you're serving, I'm serving, we're serving an audience of one. You don't have to judge anymore. You don't have to be condemning anymore. Get away from the dark corners of the school or the restaurant or the soccer field or the hockey arena. Get away from those and live in the light, Jesus says. Live in the light. All right. Okay, I see. You're tired of that. But don't be, because I want you to see something. As you move on just a little bit with what judgment you'll be used, and then it talks about removing the speck, the sawdust, looking at a plank in your own eye. Don't be a hypocrite. Live in the light. By the way, he says that through the eye comes the light. That was last week. Listen to this. Here he says something really interesting. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now, all this week, listen to this. All this week, I'm struggling with this portion of Scripture. And after a really long day yesterday and a really long week at work, this morning, as I just laid down just for about 5 minutes at 7:15, it came to me. The Lord was right on time, man. Why in the world is that Scripture right there? Here's why. It's related to the judging. He's saying here, in my opinion, I just went through this whole thing about judging and not judging unto condemnation, but you understand that you still have to evaluate and look at people and see what you need to do and the areas that I've told you could do it. And then listen to this. Don't give what is holy to the dogs. It's related to the judgment. What is all this judgment and evaluation for, really? It's not so you can get your pen out, put a line through here and go, yes, I can do judgment here. No, I can't do judgment over there. Listen to what it's for. Ministry. God wants you to be an evaluator in truth and love, gentle as dove, wise as serpents, not so you can have opinions on stuff and beat people over the head with it, but so that you can bring the holy things to people who are outcasts. They might even be, listen to this, they might even be mean and hate you. And so you have to be a great evaluator, dogs, swines. He's not doing this to call people names. He's saying something, that there's some people in the world, when you bring holy things to them, I didn't do it on purpose, and I want to do it now. When you bring holy things to them, pearl of great price, what was the pearl of great price? The kingdom of God, the gospel. When you bring holy things to them, listen to this. No one ever reads the last line. They're going to turn around and tear you to pieces. And what he's saying here is, don't be surprised. Don't be caught off guard. You know, you get your tract out. You get your magazine and back the magazine back here. You traipse down to, you know, the Union Hall. And Ernie there is involved in lots of dark and deep stuff. But I'm going to give him the gospel today, and it's going to turn out like 700 Club. I mean, I'm going to be on the 700 Club. And you cast out the kingdom of God right before him. I mean, you give the greatest exposition of the atonement of Christ that anyone ever has given, and you turn around and Ernie says, you're an idiot. And what the Lord is saying here is, be an evaluator. Sometimes Ernie needs to be handled, not that you ever change the truth. He's in a different place in his life than Violet is. And sometimes you have to be real direct with Ernie and real tender with Violet. You catching what I'm saying here? You have to be here it comes. You have to be a great discerner of people. Judgment. That's how it ties together. You're not to judge into final condemnation. Ernie's never going to be a Christian. I can't stand that guy. I'm so disappointed in Ernie. Anybody ever said that one? I can't understand Ernie. Jesus says, don't be surprised. In other words, have patience with Ernie. And then there's Violet. Violet's a bruised, tender reed. You can't just bowl Violet over with the gospel. You need to hear from Violet, like I need to hear from people sometimes. Just listen to Violet. And Violet needs to express herself. And Ernie's not like that. He's closed shop. But Violet, what I'm trying to tell you is you have to be a great discerner of people. Right? Are you catching it? There's going to be dogs and swines. You're going to roll out the gospel to people and they're going to reject you and want to tear you to pieces. And the Bible is saying here, being a great discerner of this and what's happening to you. By the way, it says cast your pearls before swine, not the pearls. Tell people when you're sharing with them what God has done for you. You don't have to know the atonement of Christ inside and out. Of course, I want you to. But you don't have to be, you know, A.W. Tozer on Calvinism versus Arminianism to share the gospel. Just take out the holy things that God's done in your life. The Bible calls you to be a witness, not a prosecuting attorney. And here he just says, listen to this. You have patience with Ernie. You have patience with Violet. But also then tell them of the great things that I've done in your life. It's your pearl. Your pearl's a little different. I mean, it's all Jesus Christ, but your story's a little bit different. Tell them your story. Make it personal. Do you see this? That's casting your pearls before swine. I know what's taught here. I know what it's saying is be a discerner when you shake the dust off your feet and leave people alone. I get that. And there's probably an element to that, but I think it's way farther out than most people in America think. Oh, they said they didn't want to talk about it right now. Okay, I'm shaking the dust off my feet. No. Long-suffering, keep sharing, keep loving, right? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 to just be a dogged pursuer of people through love. All right, we're almost done. Listen to this. Ask and it's going to be given to you. I'm not going to read it all to you again. Ask, seek, knock. Hey, it works. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. Listen, you will even give good gifts to your kids, but I'm going to give something way better. I can give you something way better. Why is that in there? Because when you're sharing with Ernie and with you're sharing with Violet and you don't know what to do, and you are tempted to be the person who says, I'm so frustrated with Ernie. You know what you're saying when you say you're frustrated with Ernie? Listen to what you're saying. I know way better than Ernie. Ernie doesn't know like I know it. I'm competing again. It's self-righteousness. When you say you're so fed up with Ernie because he won't receive the gospel, you're placing yourself in God's seat because who saves, God or you? God, be patient with Ernie. But listen, God, I need help because Ernie's a tough nut to crack. Violet, I don't know what to do. She just talks to me for hours. What does the Bible tell us in James? If you'll just ask, he'll give it liberally without reproach. He puts it here, right here on purpose, so that you will be a person who's not a condemner, who's evaluating properly, and you're doing it all by the power of the Spirit through prayer. Don't stop praying for Ernie and Violet. And quit expressing your frustration with them, because what you're saying is that you're better than they are. And you've placed yourself in the realm of God. You get it? You get this? All right, go on and we're done. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. You know all this because narrow is the gate and difficult. Oh, I forgot. You just got to know this. What is the law and the prophets? How's it summed up? How's the law and prophets fulfilled right there in verse 12? How is it? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and prophets. What is it saying there? The golden rule. What is the golden rule saying? You treat people like you want to be treated, but it never says they'll treat you good back. It never says that. And the way that, why it mentions the law and the prophets is it because the Bible tells you to, what is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets? Love. And the Bible is saying right here, in everything you do, even to your enemies, even to people that hate your guts, love them. Love them. Love them. And as you're asking and knocking, and as Ernie's calling you an idiot and telling you to get away from you and showing you bad stuff on his phone and trying to trip you up, just keep loving him. That's what he's saying. And then the final, narrow is the gate. You get this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Listen to what I'm saying here, folks. Listen to this. And I'll end as these worshipers come. Come on. It's this. He's telling you, I don't even want to say it. I'm going to choke up. He's saying not many people will heed what I'm saying. You're going to walk out of here today and you're going to say, oh, the pastor told me you're judging and blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to get to the soccer game and guess what you're going to do? Did you hear about Betty? Somebody said, judging. And then it feels good to you. You know why it feels good to you? Because you're elevating yourself above somebody else and you like it and so do I, and it appeals to the flesh. And guess what? Monday's going to come and you're going to be at the basketball game and you're going to be up in the corner of the stands and somebody's going to say, did you hear what Jimmy did? And you're going to like it and you're going to stop. And the Bible here is saying, listen, right here, he puts it right here. I love it. That road looks big and wide and attractive because it makes yourself feel better. But the people who go through there are headed for destruction. But the people who will say today in their hearts, they'll say it today, Lord, I'll cooperate with you in anything you ask me to do, including this dastardly judging of people. Lord, to be overly critic, to always, never listen to anybody else, even if they listen to MSNBC. See, if you'll say that, that way's narrow. In fact, some of you right now, and I don't want it to happen, but some of you right now are just saying, he's nuts. I don't want to do it. Or they're saying, maybe, but if it feels comfortable, I'm just going to keep participating. Here's what I pray we do. And I'm starting with myself. Come watch an Ohio State football game and see how I'm good with me and see how good I am at this. You got to hear what I call some of those Michigan people. All right, you get the point. Let's pray, and we'll leave in worship. Well, Lord, what a powerful thing you've asked us to do here. The life that you've asked us to live is one of not judging unto condemnation, or not trying to find out and describe and be quick to point out the motives in people when we have no idea what they think or feel or what their circumstances are. Lord, would you do a mighty work in our hearts? Because the Bible tells us in James, how could something bad come out of your mouth when cool spring, refreshing water ought to be coming out? What? Oh. And so, Lord, I just pray that you do a mighty work in our hearts today. And Lord, help us to tame our tongues and our thoughts. And help us to point out the best in people. Help us to point out Jesus in people. Help us to point out the kingdom and kingdom work in people. Help us to point out Holy Spirit living and authentic Christianity in people instead of the other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.